Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beast, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out the make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, that's right. Tuesday, 12-11. Tuesday, December the 11th of 2018. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time, really, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we've got a very interesting topic as we want to talk about this whole ideal of competition versus completion. So we live in a world or an environment that is based upon competition. We don't live in a world or an environment that is based upon completion. And so in the kingdom is devoid of competition. But the kingdom is filled with a vibration, with a frequency, and with a wave of completion. And that's totally different from anything that you and I have been exposed to on this DYE, D-Y-E, mention. So we, D-I-E, D-Y-E, on this mention. It's different from what's in the kingdom. So as a citizen inside of the kingdom, there is a king. And the king has given everybody what they need for life and godliness. You have what you need for life and godliness. I have what I need for life and godliness. The twain shall never meet. Unfortunately, we're all members of one body. And the same way my heart does not compete against my kidneys, but my heart and my kidneys and my spleen, my spinal cord, everything works together for the completion of the mission, which is called the body. Now, because we are not exposed to kingdom principles and kingdom keys, that ruling disposition, that culture doesn't exist on this planned net. So it's imperative that the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center and people with kingdom mindsets understand that we are extensions of the Father. We are an individualization of the Godhead on earth. As an individual expression of the God kind or the God class, I have legal jurisdiction to realistically represent and advocate for the doctrine of militant oneness with the Father and to activate the latent possibilities that's lying dormant inside of you and everybody else, so that way you can terminate your attachment to this world and you can connect to the uniqueness of God. That is the disposition of the kingdom. And it is very unfortunate that that disposition does not exist on this planned net. That's the reason for the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. That's the reason for companies and organizations that under, over, and understand sonship and kingdom mindset. Unfortunately, it is very, very, very disheartening due to the lack of kingdom mindsetness on this planet, the lack of kingdom language, the language of light, and the lack of the kingdom lifestyle, a lifestyle of completion instead of a lifestyle of competition. So we need to break down the difference between a completion mindset and a competition mindset, because it's like the word caring and the word blessed. We've been taught, programmed by this harmonious arrangement to say, bless you. And when you do that, we're saying, be less you. I don't want you to be less. I don't want to care about you. In fact, I don't care about you. I love you, but I don't care about you. Because I don't have no anxiety towards you. I don't have any animosity towards you. I don't have no fear or no concern that you can't figure it out. I know that you are a single standing column of waveform energy. I know, I don't believe, that you are an individual expression of God on earth. I know this. I know you have legal jurisdiction over your problem. Your problem does not have legal jurisdiction over you. So I don't see you as less than. In fact, I see you as greater than. I'm here to complete you. I'm not here to compete with you. I'm not here to compete against you. I'm here to complete you. I'm here to assist you. And it's really interesting because, especially for women, women have brought into this harmonious arrangement the dominant culture's disposition, and now women are trying to compete against men. They don't know and understand that they're here to complete men. And it's really sad because I don't want a woman who's trying to be like me. I don't want a man. So thankfully I don't have my wife isn't a man. My wife is a woman. And I'm glad she understands that she's a woman, because there's a big difference between a man mindset and a free man or a fee man or a womb man mindset. And without this understanding, then we have competition. And right now, there's a lot of women who've brought into the dominant cultures what they're selling and promoting, which is competition. And there's a lot of women who are trying to compete against me. I don't understand. You're not going to win, boo-boo. That dog does not hunt. See, there is a big difference between competing against a man and completing a man. Women, you're here to complete us. You're not here to compete against us. And that's the kingdom mindset that establishes the kingdom language, that establishes the kingdom lifestyle. So in business, my company, I have a lot of people who have stolen pieces and the entire system, and they try to compete against me instead of trying to complete. And it is this lack of thoughtful concentration on individualization of your purpose or your design that is the art of peaceful completion. We call it contemplation. And because there is a lack of peaceful contemplation, some people call it meditation. Some people call it prayer. Call it what you want. It's completion. But it's really interesting if you look at the spelling because smells are spells, and spelling. So to cast a spell, one must spell. Let me say that again. Somebody should write that down. To cast a spell, one must smell and one must spell. That's why we got perfume. So women, y'all like to wear perfume. Men like to wear cologne. Why? What's the purpose? Well, the harmonious arrangement, the culture tells us, so that way we can smell good. No, boo-boo. And so that way you can spell good. Because to cast a spell, one must smell. Smelling is spelling. That's another study for another time, because today we need to destroy the disposition of competition. Because we live in a world of competition. Sports is all about what? Competing. It's not about completing. You don't want to help nobody cross the finish line before you. Why not? We're here to compete. See, the word compete means to strive to outdo another. The word compete is the word COMPETE. Pete. It's competitor. It's the word that has to do with a contender or to clash or a challenge or a contest. These are not spiritual terms. These are Luciferian terms. So compete versus complete. Most people are here to contend against someone for supremacy. See, it's the willingness to engage. It's the desire to enter in a rivalry. It has to do with a word that means to come together so to be qualified, meaning COM and petition, which means to strive against. So this ability to fight against each other, that's not kingdom mindset. Actually, that's the opposite of the king. See, in the kingdom, everybody works together. But in the anti-kingdom, everybody works against each other. And so most companies, you got to compete for a promotion against your best friend. And what happens when two people are pitted against each other? It goes back to the old Roman days of the Colosseum or the gladiators, where usually it'd be two friends, sometimes even family members. They would be put in a position where they had to compete, not complete. And it's because of this disposition, this mindset that was established by Lucien Favre, which is a low vibrational frequency or entity. Now, let me make sure you understand, because this is not the kingdom mindset. This is nowhere near the kingdom. And so I don't want to be a part of any person, place, or thing that has to do with competition. Because remember the definitions of the term. If you go down to the bottom of the page, the word compete, competition, it means to enter or to be put in rivalry or revelry against someone. It means to be in rivalry, R-I-V-A-L-R-Y. That's the key, because it means to strive against. Now, revelries is what the Bible calls it when it talks about the fruit of the flesh. Just like the word caring is not a fruit of the spirit. You cannot find the word care in the fruit. Now, the word fruit is the end product of a spiritual person. So I am a spirit. I have possession of a soul. I'm not a soul. And I'm manifesting myself through a body. I'm not a body. I'm a spirit. So therefore, the evidence to convict me of the crime of being a spiritual, kingdom-minded, kingdom language, kingdom lifestyle individual is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Caring is not in there. So if you care about me, that's not spiritual. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not spiritual. Just like competing, this world is built upon competition. Healthy competition. That's what they told me when I was in sports. They say healthy competition. They say if you in it, we here to win it. Even the Bible says if you're going to run the race as one who wishes to win. But the Bible talks about running your race, not somebody else's. So the only competition you have is against yourself. There's nobody else. See, the word competition really comes from a word, rivalry. Now, this word, rivalry. What the scriptures talk about, rivalries. That means rival, R-I-V-A-L, rivals, competition. So a rival is really what the devil is promoting. So it is the action, it is the state of mind of being a rebel or a rebel. Rivalry is a state, it is a mental disposition or a competition or antagonism. It is rival, R-I-V-A-L, rivalry. It means to partner with. But to partner with what? R-I-V-A-L. Now, remember, we've got to break this down so we can understand how the enemy is hiding in plain sight. So this word rival, it means a person who is competing for the same object or goal of another. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every name, touch the hearts, minds, will, emotion, imagination, and intellect of your people so they can hear what thus says the kingdom of God. In the kingdom, there is no such animal. Why? In the kingdom, no electron travels the same path as another. That's physics in the kingdom. Let me say it again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. In physics, no electron travels the same path as another electron. Let me say it again. No electron, this is again in physics, no electron travels the same path as another electron. So if you are competing against me, now remember, that's not what they call it. Now in sports, if you put two guys in the ring, and one guy is not trying to help the other guy finish first because they're both going after the same prize. No two boxers, no people. If you run in track and field, there's eight people that usually make it to the finals, and they're all running for one prize, first place, because it's the same purpose. But no two people in the kingdom got the same purpose. No two people in God's kingdom, no two L's have the same path. No two electrons on the freaking planet and off the planet travel the same path. Nobody has my fingerprint. Nobody. Nobody before me and nobody after me, according to biology, have my fingerprint. Now, my brain cannot comprehend that. I've been trying to comprehend that. So you mean to tell me no two human beings, you know how many people right now that's supposed to be, what, 6 billion people on the planet? And out of the 6 billion people on the planet right now, nobody has my exact same fingerprint? And out of the 6 billion who came before us, and there's going to be another 6 billion that comes after us, nobody's going to still have my same fingerprint? I find that. So how do you get that many different designs on one finger? That's the uniqueness that we talked about, which is the end game. This is the goal, brothers and sisters. This is the purpose of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, to show you how unique you are so that way you are so enamored about you, you ain't competing against nobody else. Why in the beep would I want to be somebody else when I can be me? I'm a bad mamma jamma. I mean, let's not get it twisted. Let's keep it real. So are you. I'm not competing. I don't want to do what you're doing. I don't want nothing to do with what you're doing. No disrespect to you, boo-boo, but I don't care about you, and I don't care about what you do. Now, I love you, and I love what you do because you are unique, You made in the image and the likeness of our Father. And the same uniqueness that our Father gave you, guess what? He my daddy too. He gave me the same uniqueness. So I can terminate my desire to be like you. And I can assimilate my desire, and I can advocate, and I can bring about, and I can activate the latent possibilities that's lying dormant inside of my own DNA, and I can become a realistic representation of God on earth. That's my legal right. That's my legal jurisdiction. I'm an individual expression of God on earth. I have the mind of God. I speak the language of God. I walk like God. I talk like God. I act like God. I am God on earth. So are you. So we don't have to compete. But unfortunately, there's a lot of Negroes, they don't know that. So they steal other people, or they try to imitate other people. They don't have to. You can be yourself, boo-hoo. Why? You a bad mama jamma all by yourself. So we don't have to compete. All we got to do is complete. You being you completes me. You ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is just stay in your lane. I stay in my lane. We all going in the same direction, which is we are going Godward. We're not going upwards. We're not going backwards. We're going Godward. Godward. We're moving in the direction that is the true destiny of mankind, contrary to popular belief. But what we got going on now? Rivalries. I'm me and you are rivals. At least that's what they tell us. This world we live in is based upon capitalism. This is a dog-eat-dog world. Everybody's fighting for the same dollar. Everybody's fighting for the same slice of pie. There's enough pie to go around for everybody. There's enough dollars to go around for everybody. You ain't got to stab me in the back. I ain't got to stab you in the back. There's enough for everybody. See, the devil is smooth, man. He's a smooth. He's got women trying to be men. In fact, there are some women and men. What's the LGBT movement? There are some women who don't want to be women. They want to be men. Now, brothers and sisters, no disrespect to nobody. No disrespect. However, I don't care about you. I love you, but I don't care about you. That's my new phrase. I'm going to give me a T-shirt that I don't care. I don't give a flying bleep about you. But I love you. Why? Love is totally different from care. Look it up. I'm telling you, it'll shock your world. Same thing. Compete is totally different from complete. Compete and complete, they ain't kissing cousins. They're not even opposite of the same coin. They two distant polarities. So compete means a person who is after the exact same object. Why would you want to do that? My heart does not compete against my liver. My liver does not compete against my spleen. My spleen does not compete against my stomach. My stomach does not compete against my lungs. They all complete each other. They work together. See, when you're competing, it means you're trying to prove your worth to a rival. See, competing is an indication of lack of self-worth. I always wonder why sports were so heavily promoted amongst men. I like watching football. You know, dudes blow out their knee and all this stuff, and you see them, they're so angry because why? That's their livelihood. And so they have to compete to make the team. You know how many athletes, you know, pro football is about 50 players on a team. 200 of them try out. I've been to 3 NFL combines back in the day. I remember the last combine I went to, that's when I knew it was a wrap, because the speed and the size. I had the speed, but I didn't have the size. It's crazy when you look at a guy standing next to you that's 6'3", 250, and he's running right alongside of you. In high school, you're just used to just going out there just smoking dudes. But then you get to college, they're a little bit faster. But in the NFL, everybody's fast. Ain't no such thing as you're going to outrun somebody to the corner. Yeah, that's dudes that's 6'7", 350. They run as fast as somebody that's 5'5", 150. So there is a competition because they're all after what? The same goal, which is what? To make the team. But once you find purpose, my brother, once you find purpose, my sister, I ain't got no competition. Like, be for real. Let's be honest. Like, who gonna do what I'm doing? Who on earth, off the earth, under the earth, above the earth is going to do what I do. There's no angels, there's no devils, and there's no demons. Because nobody has the exact same experiences that I've had. Nobody wasn't forced, even my brother who was right there with me, we were both on our knees at the same time. We both were getting hit on the back with that metal pipe. We both was forced to go and fast and go without food for days at a time. We both processed it differently. Even though we both had the same experience, we both perceived it differently based upon our design. I'm a Virgo. My brother's a Leo. I'm a 6. My brother's an 8. No, I'm not an 8. Let's see, brother, he's a 2. So he's a peaceful phlegmatic. So we got 2 total different dispositions. So we don't have to compete. Now, remember, the word compete means of the same book. It means adversary in love. Let me say that again. Go down to the bottom of the page. Latin, rabelis, literally, one who shares the same book or the same book. Now, basically, book of life, DNA. No 2 people's DNA is the same. So competition is a lie from the pit because it tells you that you and somebody, y'all got to fight for the same piece of pie. There's only $1. No, boo-boo, there's a plethora of dollars. You can have as many dollars as you want. You can have as much health as you want. You can have as much wisdom as you want. You can curl your own toes as much as you want. You are not in the pursuit of the same object as somebody else. That's a lie from the pit. It is a lie. A rival is one who uses the same stream. Let me say this again. Latin comes from the English word companion or associate. In the Latin, it means competitiveness of neighbors. It means one who uses the same stream, frequency, wave of vibration. According to physics, no 2 electron travels the same path. If an electron is going on the path and there's another electron on that path, that electron will not take that path. No 2 electrons, because physics is the mathematics of God. God dumbed himself down and say, how can people relate to me? It's like if you're going to go out in your backyard and you want to go talk to ants and you have to relate to an ant, how do you relate to an ant? Well, you become the ant. You speak ant. You dumb yourself down so that way the ant is not afraid of you, so that way you don't squash the ant. You transmute your energy so that way the ant can over, under, and understand, and they don't run when they see you. So your ability to understand, that is what the Father has done. But see, we live in a culture now, especially from where I'm from. And I grew up in sports. I went into the military. I went into law. Everything I've done in my life was based upon competition. So I went into the church with the same mindset. Hey, brother so-and-so, so that created what? Jealousy. So now I'm trying to be like T.D. Jakes. I'm trying to be like Creflo Dollar. I'm trying to be like this guy and that guy. So there is competition in the church. That is not of God. There is no competition in the kingdom because no 2 people have the exact same purpose. Because by definition of the word competition, it means rival. It means revelries. Now, the Bible talks about the fruit of the flesh. One of the fruit of the flesh is revelries, rivalries. Now, this is extremely important because this is not broken down. I haven't seen it broken down in this dimension, meaning to this level. Meaning, when we talk about rivals and rivalries and rivalries, it is competition for the same object or competition for superiority in the same field. Emphasis on the word same. See, we're supposed to be the same as God. I'm not supposed to be the same as T.D. Jakes. I am not supposed to be the same as Creflo Dollar. I like Dr. Miles Monroe. He's my mentor. But I ain't trying to be another Miles Monroe. I like Dr. Sabi. I got a lot of overstanding from Dr. Sabin in the area of nutrition, but I am not Dr. Sabin. I am not regurgitating Dr. Sabin's shiznit. I came up and got an overstanding from Dr. Sabin, but I realized that the Father gave me a unique gift for me to complete. I'm not here to compete. And it is this competition spirit. It is this rivalry. It is this undermining, this backbiting. It is this worldly way of taking things into the kingdom. That shit's got to stop. You cannot take a worldly mindset into a king's kingdom, because the king has his own keys. We got to use the kingdom keys that was given to us by the king. Those keys, they unlock the king's doors, and that solves problems. But what we got is keys that was given by Lucian Farr. We don't have the kingdom mindset. So the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center is here to do three things. One, establish the kingdom mindset. Two, establish the kingdom language. Three, live the kingdom life. Where do we start, Brother Will? We start right here. What do we start with? Don't try to be somebody else that you're not. This is the art of completeness. What is the art of completeness, Brother Will? It is the art of peaceful contemplation. Of who? Somebody else? No, of self. So what am I supposed to do all day? All day you're supposed to do one thing. What is that, Brother Will? Number one, you're supposed to have thoughtful concentration on your individual purpose. Now, we broke down this series already. What does that mean, though? Thoughtful. That means you contemplate, you meditate, and you have what we call reflection. And you got to have something called concentration. That's focus, discipline, and order. That's what concentration is, what we call exclusive, attentive application. Notice it's exclusive. Notice it's attentive, and notice it's applicable to self, which leaves us with number three, which is purpose. Thought, concentrate, purpose. If you do those three things, like we talked about in the previous series that I broke down to establish the kingdom mindset, thoughtful concentration of your individual purpose. No competition required. Individual purpose. My purpose, your purpose are not the same. Our purpose complement each other. They don't compete against each other. What is the purpose of purpose? There's individual purpose, and then there's corporate purpose, and then there's kingdom purpose. So I'm an individual. I need to find a corporation. That's what I did. So as an individual, I said, okay, I need a corporation. Or I got to remember, you find or create. So that's what I did. I looked for a corporate. I was an individual, and I said, I cannot find a corporation, so I'm going to start my own. So I started way back in the day, the Eagles Club, and I started the Eagles University. Eagerly advancing, godly living, scripturally and scientifically. 20 years ago, I came out with it, and Negroes lost their mind. Brother, you cannot combine science and scriptures. They don't, that them two dogs, they don't hunt together. That's like oil and water. I said, well, in Willie's world, they hunt together. Man, I got called everything from a freaking leper to a lizard. My own family turned their back on me. This Negro is trying to combine science and scriptures? Brother, science is of the devil. And I'm like, really? Well, everything the Bible says that, you know, God knew the stars and he named them. And he told Job, where was you when I spun the heavens and I created? It says in Genesis that it was created for signs and seasons. And I can go on and on. Even the book of Job, it talks about the Maserut. So how can cosmology be of Lucifer? Even Lucifer was a created being. He made himself. He's a dumbed-down version of the original. So let's trace this back to source. There's only one emission. There's only one frequency. But the big G allows the frequency to establish its own path. Now, every electron has an established path, but it has the freedom. That's called exousia, power of choice. You got that. Let's say you exercise your power of choice and you use your gift for bad. That's what I did. Now, I didn't know. I was young, dumb, and stupid. So I used my gift of gab to get digits. instead of established purpose. Now, I could continue to use my gift negatively, but the gift is positive. Let's not get it twisted. The frequency is positive. Now, how you interpret the frequency, how you use the frequency, now that's up to you, boo-boo. If you want to take a gift, now a hammer is a tool, is it not? A gun is a weapon. Now, it can be a weapon to prevent crime. I was a cop. I had a gun, and I used it to stop bad guys. Now, bad guys, they had guns, and they used it to try to go through the good guys. So you can use a weapon for good or evil. The weapon is not. So all these knuckleheads talking about, well, brother, we need more gun control. Really? How about we get some freaking people control? Yeah, how about we do that? How about we get something called self-control? That's a fruit of the spirit. How about we do that instead of getting rid of all the hammers? Because you can use a hammer to drive a nail in a piece of wood, or you can use a hammer to bust somebody in the head with it. It's the person that is wielding the hammer. It's not the hammer. The hammer is not evil, brother. The hammer is not evil. It is just a hammer. It's a tool. Competition states, I got to take something and I got to make it into something that, excuse me, allows me to establish me. How is that? Superiority. So the next series, I'm going to give you three things to help establish your superiority. I'll start doing the intro probably tomorrow or the next day. You do not want to miss this series. Again, and I'm going to probably price this series up because I really don't want too many people on this one, because this one is a theology destroyer, because we're going to talk about sex. Everybody gets, you know, woo-wee, people lose their mind. So we're going to talk about sex, but we're going to talk about sensuality, and then we're going to talk about spirituality. We're going to demystify sexual transmutation, sex transmutation. Sex is just a frequency. It's just an energy. It's just a way, but it just happens to be the most powerful. Now, spirituality happens to be one of the ones that's just as powerful. Sensuality happens to be one of the ones that's just as powerful. So that three-stranded cord, yeah, you walk through, you can do anything on this dimension if those three are transmuted together. Every genius on earth, if you want to use that term genius, I use it loosely, they understand how to switch the mind from operating in competition to operating in completion. They take a lower form of energy and they transmute it into a higher form of energy. I got to teach you how to do that, because there's the other people, they don't know how to channel this energy. They don't know how to channel it. They got it, but they don't know what to do with it. And so whether they're doing it, they're trying to put it on me, or they try to put it on you. Or there's some people out there, they try to use it to, you know, make money off of it. They, you know, we call those people pole dancers. So there is an emotion of competition that is being fueled by this creative power or this creative ability called sex, called sensuality, and called spirituality. These are all energy. Now, there are energy managers, people like Brother Rome, who that's their purpose in life, is to take different energies. Now, somebody's going to send an energy to you, and your job is to take it. Remember, the Bible says it this way. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The Bible says that God is going to take what the devil meant for evil. He's going to turn it around. He's going to transmute it. That's the process of changing something that is one form of energy into a higher form of energy. How do we do that? Okay, you don't know? Okay, well, I'll teach you. So the next series that starts on the 15th, I'm going to teach you how to take any energy. I don't care what it is. Because the energy itself is not good or bad. Somebody can intend it. Somebody can walk up to you. They can take a gun out on you, and they can pull it, and they can put it. The first type of self-defense I ever took was judo. Now, judo is taking somebody's energy and using it against them. Then I took Aikido. It is really, really interesting. Now, remember, I was a young whippersnapper. I had no idea I was going to be doing what I was doing, what I'm doing right now, 20 years ago, except God gave me the physics behind it when I was 21. What is the physics? In Aikido, Aikido is basically arm bars and wrist locks. You take somebody, throw a punch, you take the arm, and you push the joints in a direction it's not designed to go. That, brothers and sisters, is what we call harnessing and redirecting along the lines. that motivates and maintains its designs. Let me say it again. This is not taught in the West. Now, it is taught in the East. You go to Japan right now. I was stationed in Iwakuni, Japan. I used to go out to mainland. I used to go to Okinawa. I used to go to Osaka. And I used to go to Tokyo on the weekend. And I used to watch these old Japanese people, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, out there doing these smooth movements called Tai Chi. And that is when I found, now remember, 20 years ago, God was building the foundation for what I'm doing right now. 20 years ago, which is what? Stop competing. I was a bulldog. I had bulldog. I didn't have no athletic skills. I wasn't big. I wasn't fast. I wasn't, intellectual. What I had, though, was will. Nobody could outwill me. Like, if you was on my good side, man, I'm the guy. If you're in a fight, you want me on your team. If I'm on your bad side, yeah, I'm the guy that you don't want to make an enemy out of me. I'm the guy that crawl through your backyard at night with a ski mask on. 20 years later, when you've forgotten about it, you land in bed with your wife and kids, I'm the guy that show up in your dreams at night. Yeah, you don't want to make an enemy of me. The old me. So the Father said, hey, all of that energy you got, we got to harness it. We got to redirect it along the lines of its designs. So the Father says, you're not designed for evil. You're designed for good. Look at your numbers. So I didn't know. People told me numerology is bad, but the wills of the devil. Zodiac is bad, but the wills of the devil. You're a devil. That's what they told me in church. Because I was naturally drawn to this. I didn't understand, so I put it down. And then I had to pick it back up again. Thankfully, the big G had to teach me. No little G taught me this. And the big G showed me in the scriptures, and he took me outside of the scriptures, and it destroyed tradition, and it gave me dominion. Now I got dominion over tradition. So when the Negro come with me, to me with tradition, I can dominate with the energy that comes from the source in the form of a number. Numbers are symbols. Symbols contain a substance, and the substance comes from a source. So I can destroy any theology with God's superiority that comes from source. Most people got tradition. Tradition doesn't give you dominion. That's why you can go to any church, most churches, there is no dominion there because there's no kingdom teaching. There's traditional teaching. Tradition is not kingdom. Jesus came teaching one thing, repent for the kingdom. Don't believe me? Look it up. Look in the Bible what it says, what Jesus came teaching. Everywhere Jesus went, he said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus taught. Now, everything else we're teaching, that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus says repent, but why? He said repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 3, Matthew 4, Mark 1, all throughout the Helios Biblios, he says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For the kingdom of heaven is near. For the kingdom of heaven is here. What did Jesus mean when he said that? What did Jesus mean when he said that all who came before me are thieves and robbers? Hold up, time out. Come on, Jesus. They told Jesus, dude, we're going to stone you. Jesus said, "What? For what good works do you seek to stone me?" Now, this is the same thing they're going to tell me today. And they're going to tell you the same thing. And the day you get the truth and you let go of King James Version, Negroes will stone you. Why? Because you're going to come teaching with dunamis power. When Jesus taught, he said, hold up, isn't that the carpenter's son? They said, yep, that's him. So hold up, how the hell a carpenter get authority? He didn't go to seminary. How are he going to teach us? We scribes and Pharisees, man, we the law. They sought to sit in Moses' seat. That's what they did. Don't believe me? Read Matthew 10. Read Matthew 23. Jesus says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, seven times. Now, if Jesus takes the time to tell you something seven times, it may be important. Matthew 23. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. You took away the keys to the kingdom. You yourself cannot enter in, and you're preventing other people from entering. How? How, brother? They took away the key. See, thankfully, there's a king. This king has a kingdom, and this kingdom is based upon keys. Unfortunately, those keys are not in most churches. Tradition is in churches, not keys. So thankfully, I had a good mentor, Dr. Miles Rose, said, boy, don't preach the gospel. I said, hold up. I thought that's what we're supposed to do. He said, no. Jesus did away with the gospel. He brought it in. He ushered in the kingdom. That's why on the Mount of Transfiguration, two people appeared before Jesus. Moses, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. Elijah, he was a representative of every book after that. Because the Pentateuch is the law. All the books after that, from Jonah to Malachi, is the prophets. But the law and the prophets is done away with. That's why Jesus said, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. Why? They did not preach the kingdom. The kingdom wasn't even there for them to preach. They did their purpose. They did their design. Now you got a purpose, and it's not theirs. No two purposes are the same. My kidneys does not do the job of my heart. My heart does not do the job of my spleen. My spleen does not do the job of my kidneys, yet they're all inside the same body. There are many members, but there are one body, brothers. That's the problem. In the kingdom, there's many members, but there's only one corporate motivational statement called the operating state. Now, the business, now if you go to irs.gov, if you go to any business website, they're going to give you some kingdom principles, but it's in the form of business. But most businessmen and women, they don't understand. So that's why I teach kingdom building. I teach kingdom principles that was taught to me by the great Dr. Miles Monroe, who established the kingdom. And I want to continue, except I'm doing it in my lane, not his. Why? I'm not Miles Monroe. And so in the kingdom, there's something called an executive summary. So in your business, you should have something called an executive summary. Do you got that? Okay, if you don't got it, you might want to get that, boo-boo. Why is that? Because in the kingdom, there's something called focus, discipline, and order. See, God is the God of order. So in the kingdom, there's something called a dream state. Do you got that? Every day, there's a dream. That's where you're going. Now, that dream has a mission statement. That's meant state mission statement. There should be a purpose statement. There should be a vision statement. There should be a goal statement. There should be an objective statement. There should be an action statement. There should be a responsibility statement. There should be a operating statement. There should be a marketing statement. There should be a foundational statement. And there should be some foundational principles. That should be in every business. If you're not, you don't got a business. You got a hobby. So what we got is a lot of hobbies. We have a lot of competition, but we don't have no complete systems. There's no business. There's no kingdom businesses on the planet. So I decided to start one. That was my individual purpose. And then I went to California, and guess what I did? I found a corporation that had a corporate purpose that matches and aligns my business or my individual purpose that's aligned with the kingdom purpose. So there should be a kingdom purpose that matches the corporate purpose, that matches the individual purposes. So now there's a bunch of individuals, because inside of my body I got a bunch of individual blood cells. I got a bunch of individual neurons. I got a bunch of individual protons, electrons. But all these individuals, they come together under one corporation called Willie E. Rogers. And I am the CEO of W. E. Rogers. As the CEO, I report to a higher authority. That's called a corporate. And they report to a higher authority that called the Father. So if you align your individual purpose with the wrong corporation, your dogs do not hunt. That's what Jesus came preaching. He came preaching the kingdom of God on earth. So there's a kingdom mission statement that has no competition. And we got corporations that teach and preach competition, not completion. We got a problem, because there's a bunch of rivalries. There's a bunch of rivalries. There's a bunch of people who are after the same brook. There's a bunch of people who are trying to drink from the same stream. Guess what? Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Whose belly? The Reverend Dr. Bishop? Jim Bob down the street? Yo, Ma and Paul Kettle? No. out of your bellies, brothers and sisters, or out of your belly. What happens according to John chapter 7? Now, this one we got to read. John 7, Father? Oh, I should have wrote it down. Let's see. There we go. John 7, 38. Thank you, Father. It says, King James, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, not dead. Whose belly? Yours. So if you are looking for somebody else to supply your living water, good luck for you, Bubba. That dog does not hunt. Now, let's bring this to a conclusion. So we know that we're not interested in trying to take somebody else's stuff. We're interested in establishing our own cistern, our own, out of our own belly flows. Now, there's going to be a lot of similarities between what you do and what somebody else is doing. That's okay. Like me and Brother Roman, we're in the same space, but we don't have the same purpose. So I control energy through symbols. Brother Roman control energy through mental dispositions, two different things. So I can use numbers, but Brother Roman can use cosmology. Because why? It teaches people how to understand cosmology, numerology, zodiac, and a lot of the other things to assist them with understanding them. Brother Roman is not trying to create a bunch of little Romans. He's trying to help people establish their individual purpose. I'm not trying to teach you and trying to establish a bunch of willies. That's why I don't train followers. I don't have followers. I have leaders. I just train leaders to be leaders because we're all leaders. That's kingdom, because the kingdom is not about competition. The kingdom is about completion. Okay, Brother Will, you said that about 50 times already, brother. What else you got? Okay, let's break down the word completion. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the kingdom. I love the kingdom. I thank God for the king. I thank God that the king decide to put me in his hand, because the scripture says everybody that the Father has put inside of the king's hand, he ain't losing none of them. That's the scriptures that I read, which is a little different from the scriptures that most people read. So I am secure in my kingdomness. So now I can assist everybody with what? Harnessing and redirecting energy along the lines of their design. This is going to activate their latent potential. That's going to create imagination. That's going to be powerful enough to bring about creative literature, creative art, creative cooking, creative designs, creative buildings, creative plays, creative shows. And it's going to allow you to accumulate massive wealth, massive health, massive wisdom, massive relationships. Why? Because now you're not trying to compete. You're trying to complete your individual purpose. Completion of purpose. Completion of purpose. That is the positive mental attitude that allows you to destroy the yoke and transmute all things that are negative, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and all who rise up against you shall fall, because you can transmute any energy. So the devil can send fiery darts at you, but the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, the granter of destiny, to the pulling down of strongholds. So I can transmute anything. Somebody send me, now witches do this all the time. They tell me, like, man, we send in you some evil. I have succubus and incubus. They try to come into my head every night. Now, I have one young client I was talking and helping them assist them because they're having a problem with this. So these succubus and these incubus that understand astral projection and remote viewing, and there's witches who do this. If it didn't happen to you, stick around. Your turn coming, boo-boo. Just hang around. Stick around long enough. Once you get to a certain vibration and they pick you up in the spirit realm, they will show up. So what do? You overstand what I'm getting ready to express, expose, and expand. What I teach inside the Kingdom and Ask Training Center. Transmutation. what the next series is all about. It is the act of completing. It is the state of being completed. Drop mic, exit stage left. It is the state of sameness of God. You know what happens to a witch when they encounter the frequency of God? You don't know? Okay, let me explain what happens. The same reaction that the demons had when they came upon Jesus and they said, they identified him. First of all, they saw him from afar off. That's what the scripture said. And then they said, after they saw him, they asked him one question. Hold up, God, why you come to torment us before our time? Can we go hang out in these pigs? Like we don't want to leave. We want to stick around. We like being down here on earth. We want to find another smooth, dry place to enter. You say, yeah, whatever. Notice how they interact. They always asked him why. It wasn't their time yet. It says, why have you come to? It's really interesting. It's really interesting. Now, let me be crystal clear, because if you don't walk in this kind of power that doesn't come from you, but it comes from source, it's the under-open understanding of design, because that's where the powers come from. So in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, if I remember, we got to read this one, because this is the definition of the kingdom. This is what happens in the kingdom. Now, only sons can do this. If you're not a son, don't try this at home. Why? Them demons will put a whooping on you. So there's a viceroy in your city. He knows you. You may not know him, but he knows you. So the viceroy, they take note of people who come into their territory and trying to usurp their territory. Let me get this right. You'll come into my house and go into my kitchen, and you think I'm not going to notice. I got cameras all over my house. I don't, like, really, but I'm just saying. So the devil is like this. Now, remember, it's an energy, not no physical dude. Now, I'm not saying that it's not no physical dude. I'm just talking about the real one is vibrational. So there is a vibe. If you go to San Francisco, and that vibe is San Francisco, if you want to go to San Francisco and establish a church for establishing the biological expression of male and female, what do you think is going to happen to you? If you go down to Mississippi and you want to establish a church for both white and black people to worship, what do you think going to happen to you in Mississippi? Go down to Alabama. Go down there with them good old boys. Come to Texas. There's still some good old boys down here in Texas. See these good old boys in Texas? Yeah, they like you as long as you stay on your side of the tracks. Now, here in Texas, you go down to Pasadena and build, as a black man, establish a church in a white neighborhood. See what happens. I'm just saying, you can just check it out. Check out the disposition. Unless you understand that you're a son. See, sonship establishes kingship. See, sonship is based upon legal jurisdictional right. Sonship means you that you're an advocate of a doctrine that's based on the Melchizedek debt, which means, according to Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, when Jesus arrived on the other side of the region of the Gardenese, he was met by two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs. Oh, man, I wish I could break that down. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. So there's certain people that are vibrationally whack. And when you meet them, you will know. They are emotionally disturbed. One day they like you, the next day they're trying to take your head off. They are what? They are demon possessed. I wish I had time to break it down. They were demon possessed, and they came. Notice where they came from. They came from the tombs, root chakra, base chakra. That means they genitated. They got sex. They got all of this energy. They don't know what to do with it. They were so violent that nobody could pass by them. That means nobody could engage them into an intellectual dialogue. People tried to debate them, and they got chewed up. Nobody could pass by them mentally, spiritually, vibrationally. Verse 29, Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. This is the kingdom mindset. What do you want with us, son of God? They shouted. Hold up. Time out. How the hell did they know who Jesus was? How did they know he was the son of God? So how do you think they know you're the son of God? You think that them vibrations don't know who you are? Oh, boo-boo, they know who you are. You just don't know who you are. Because remember in this scripture that I'm reading in Matthew chapter 8, before we get to the demons and the pigs, Jesus had calmed the storm. If you go back in Matthew chapter 8, if you go back to Matthew 8, 25, it said the disciples, they was in this storm, and they went and they woke up Jesus, and they said, Lord and Lord, save us, for we are perishing. Now, that storm is a mental disposition. So right now there are people, and this is what I helped and assisted Brother Rome with. He didn't need much help or assistance. Drop my mic. So what Brother Rome did, so there was a storm going on in Brother Rome's head. Now, Brother Rome could do like the disciples and say, and go to somebody and say, hey, dude, I got this, you know, I don't know what to do. Give me some medication. But the same thing that I told Brother Rome, same thing I tell you, same thing I told myself. Because remember, before I ever met Brother Roman, I had something called bipolar disorder. And I had something called arrested development disorder. So that means that there was a 8-year-old running my brain when I was 30. That's why I was doing 8-year-old decisions. So people was telling me, brother, why would you get out of the military with a wife and at that time 3 kids and no job? Well, I was thinking with the brain of an 8-year-old, because the day my mom died, I can remember it, what happened. It was like something switched. It's like my brain knew I couldn't process that. So I saw my mom in a casket, but I remember going outside the church and playing baseball. I just picked up a ball and I started hitting it. And I was telling myself, my mom is coming back. My mom is coming back. And everybody told me they was trying to consult me, and I was laughing and cracking jokes. And it was like, dude, like, your mama ain't coming back. And I was just like, man, stop playing. Like, you know, let's go play basketball. I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't process the fact that that face, that smell, that warm embrace, I would never see that again. But my brain couldn't process it. I couldn't process it. So my brain split. Now, this is psychological. I know what arrested development is. I know how the brain can departmentalize trauma so that way you can deal with reality. I know. I didn't read about this shit in no book. I know because it happened to me. I know what arrested development disorder is. Your brain departmentalizes traumatic events. That way you can deal with real life. Because I couldn't go to school the next day because I didn't know how to process this. There was no bereavement counselors around when I was a kid. So my brain, that was a storm in my brain, brothers. That was a storm going on. And that's what people ask me, man, when I was a little dude, why I kept getting all these fights. I was an angry little dude. Why? Look at the disciples. The disciples, they woke Jesus up and said there was a storm going on. The wind was raging, and there was a storm. That means that their brain was going off. A storm in the Bible always represents a mental storm in the brain. And then Jesus says, you of little faith, Jesus replied, why are you so afraid? So then it says, then Jesus got up and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was perfectly calm. And the men were amazed and they asked him, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the storms or the sea obey. So you got the same power. So Jesus told himself, this is what I teach, kingdom mindset. In your brain, this is what Brother Roman does. This is what I do. So something happens in my life, more bills, no money. And so my brain says, get fear, dude. What are we going to do? They're going to repossess your car. You're going, you know, they're going to take your house. Kids going to be homeless. Now, when I was younger, dumber, stupider, the storm would rage. I didn't have no way to calm it. So guess what happens? I feared the storm. The storm destroyed my life. Now, storm shows up. I do the same thing Jesus did. Peace, be still. I tell my brain, yo, calm down, homie. We got the freaking keys to open the door. We can solve any problem on earth. Bring me the storm. My brain is calm. And if you do not have a calm brain, that storm is going to destroy your life. And the same way Jesus calmed the storm, that's what you do. You tell that problem, peace be still. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I have to fear no evil. Because for every physical problem, there's a spiritual solution. I know because I got the freaking key, and I hang out with the king, and I live in the kingdom. And then the men are going to be amazed because people are going to hear how Brother Roman lives his life, how you live your life, how Sister Ellen lives her life, and they're gonna call Sister Ellen, and they're gonna say, hey, we know you know things is going good. You on Instagram posting off salads that look like Skittles. So man, you got stuff going on. You over here taking a detox bath and you're doing this, that, and the other. How we do that? They're going to be amazed at Sister Ellen's calm demeanor. Just like they're going to be amazed. And they're going to say, what kind of woman is Sister Ellen that, man, even her finances is in control? She ain't going out here, making old, hoochie videos. She got style and grace. And they're going to say the same thing about you. Why? You have sameness of mind with God. Now, notice where Jesus' power came from, because you got the same power. Jesus calmed the storm because he told it, you of little faith. That's how he calmed the storm. That comes from the Faith Hall of Fame. That means calling those things that are not as though they were. Now, when I was a little whippersnapper, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand completion, so I had to complete. I didn't have a state of being completed. I didn't have a state of being fulfilled. I didn't have a state of being concluded, meaning it's a wrap, boo-boo, meaning it is done. The word completion means termination. It means ending. It means closing. That's completion. So when you see a ruling disposition that is not the same as the Father, that means you might want to know what his is. Guess what you can say? Okay, is this love? Let me see. Nope. Is this joy? Nope. Is this peace? Nope. Is this gentleness? Nope. Is this meekness? Nope. Is this self-control? Nope. Any other disposition? Caring is not mentioned. So you caring, that is not a biblical definition. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. It is not. It's not in there. I can't find it. Now, if you can find it, email me. Let me know. I can't find it. So the word complete, it means to fill up. So you are full. The Bible says it this way. You have been given everything that you need. So why you got needs? That is why if you need it, you can't have it. Because when you say you need something, you're telling God, I like you, but you what? You're telling God he's a lie. Now, you can do a lot of things, brother. I don't recommend you going up to the king inside of his kingdom and telling him he don't know what the hell he's doing. Because you said in your word that you've given me everything that I need for life and godliness, and I don't have it. Yeah, I don't know if you want to call God a liar. I'm just saying. That's not a good place to be. The word complete means having all parts, lacking nothing. So you got lack in your life, that means God is a liar because you got lack. That's why when you say you care about somebody, you're telling God he's a liar. Because when you care, that implies you see lack. Now, you can do a lot of things, brothers and sisters, a lot of things. I don't recommend you do that. I don't recommend caring. If you care about somebody versus love somebody, you can love them, but you can't care. Care implies lack. The reason that you care is because you have concern. The reason that you have concern is because you're telling them that they don't have it all, that they're a couple of sandwiches short of a full picnic. Now, I used to be from that same school of thought. Remember, that was the last demon I just destroyed. The demon of caring. Y'all remember, I've been preaching this crap for a long time. I'm a six. What's the number of six? Care. Well, I removed that word out of my vocabulary, along with the word blessed, along with the word person, individual. Those are all demonic terms. So remember, kingdom mindset, you got to use the kingdom language. You got to talk with the king. And in the kingdom, guess what? There's no competition. In the kingdom, there's just completion. So complete me, brother. Don't compete against me. I'm not your enemy. Now, I don't care about you, but I do love you. Now, what does that mean? That means I see you as whole. I see you as complete. So you come to me and say, well, hey, Brother Will, I'm broke down. I'm broke. I'm busted and disgusted. Oh, really? That's not what I see, because I see you the way God designed you, because I did your freaking Dear Canary report. I see the numbers. I don't see. Let me see. Let me look at the numbers. Because there's some people out there that don't understand who I am and what I do. So you come to me and say, Brother Will, you don't understand, brother. Devil whooping my aspiratus. Really? How the hell is that possible? Well, what had happened was, okay, you're one. Okay, that means you're an independent leader. Okay. I don't see poverty, lack, doubt, fear, none of that in that number. Okay, you're not a number one. Maybe you're two. That means peaceful creator. So again, no fear, doubt, none of the negative. I just see positive. So you're three. That's a creative creator. Maybe you're four. That means that you are a completer. Maybe you're five. That means that you are a flexible adventurer. That means that you are a spiritual evangelist. Okay? You're not a five? Maybe you're six. That means that you're like me. You are a loving giver. Sixes. Anybody that's a six, listen to me. Get rid of the word care. That's a demonic term. That's how the devil got me. Get rid of the word care. If you're a six, you are a loving giver. You're not a carer. Number seven, if you're a seven, you are a keen intellect. If you're a seven, your brain, you got to teach everybody else how to think. Don't teach people what to think. Teach them how to think. That's a seven. If you're an eight, oh, man. If you are an eight, you are a powerful achiever. Eights are finishers. See, I'm a starter. I'm not a finisher. An eight will finish. So guess the dark side of the eight. They don't finish. So as an eight, you wake up every day. I am a powerful finisher. I'm a powerful finisher. Anyone who got a project? As an eight, you should look for projects. You say, oh, you need help with that project? I got you, boo-boo. I can achieve it. I'm a powerful achiever. If you're a nine, you are a noble giver. Notice that the nine is upside down six. Notice they're both the same, except one is a loving giver. The other is a notable giver. A nine, they do stuff with style, with grace, with elegance. With the six, we do it with love. The nine do it with love, but they do it with style. They make it look good. So notice none of that had to do, I didn't see no poverty in none of those numbers. I didn't see no sickness in none of those numbers. I didn't see no doubt in none of those numbers. I didn't see no unbelief in none of those numbers. So why does those things exist? My people perish for a lack of gnosis, a lack of knowledge. Why? So we go out and we compete. Now remember, the word compete means you're fighting for the same purpose as somebody else. Compete. Compete means you're trying to drink from the same stream. That means you're expressing the same energy. I am not T.D. Jakes. You will never hear me try to talk, act, walk, breathe, or anything like T.D. Jakes. I'm not Joel Osteen. You would never, ever hear me preach a message, say anything even remotely similar. I am not Miles Monroe, and I like Miles Monroe. But you will never see me try to regurgitate a Miles Monroe message. The closest thing that you will hear me say that's similar to Miles Monroe is where there is no purpose, people cast off restraint. Mama Rosa said that all the time. Well, there's no purpose, that's lack of order. Why? He was about purpose. That's why I got my understanding from purpose from. But guess what? The way I'm expressing it is totally different from Dr. Miles Monroe. There is no competition. There is only completion. Now, the reason why this is so important, brothers and sisters, because the devil got you competing for dollars. You're fighting on your job to get that promotion. That's a waste of time, homie. You got bigger fish to fry. Don't compete. Like me, I don't debate, I educate. You will never see me in a debate with no other Negro on the planet. If somebody disagree with me, brother, that is your prerogative. You have every right. I'm here to complete my purpose on earth. That's here. I am here to bring to a, I'm here to consummate. That's what you're here to do too. You are here to bring to a completion. You are here to make something full. Who? You. You are here to fulfill the will of God in your life. Excuse me. That's why you're here. Now, let me be crystal clear, man. Because we live in an environment that says, I got one opening and there's 30 applicants. Who's going to get this job? Well, remember, Jesus came on the scene. When Jesus arrived, the demon-possessed man came out of the tomb. And they identified him. When you go on a job, somebody should come out of their office and identify you. I don't know that guy right there. What's his name, man? You know, give me his resume. Somebody should come and identify you. Now, I was just moseying along doing my thing, and I had this client, and this client identified me and said, hey doc, your dictionary reports, man, let me get one. And me and this individual, I told the story 1,000 times, it's 1,001. This is how this whole California thing came. Now, remember, individual purpose needs corporate support. Otherwise, tune up, black man. Y'all listening? If you're a black man and you're conscious, you will die broken alone unless you join a corporation or start your own. The enemy loves to isolate, separate, because one standing alone is easily defeated. You need corporate protection. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. They're not doing it no more. So now God is raising up businesses. Because the church is a business, contrary to popular belief. Now, let me get this right. There's a church in every corner in the hood, and yet the hood is still the hood. How is that possible? If you serve the greatest God that ever existed on the planet, and you ain't got no money. Money ain't paper. Money is confidence. I've been to a lot of churches, and Negroes ain't got no confidence. They still scared of the white man. They still scared of the IRS. They still going to the bank and ask for a freaking loan. Are you serious? What can you freaking access? I'm not talking about making nothing or creating nothing. I'm talking about access. See, I got access to the Father. I got access. I'm his son, so I got access. I'm a joint heir, and I'm an heir. I'm a son of God, so I got access to everything God got. So I ain't got no money problems. I ain't got no health problems. I ain't got no wisdom problems. Damn sure I ain't got no relationship problems. So if you got a problem, that means you got the wrong God. Because the God I serve, he don't got no problems. I'm an individual expression of God on earth. What are you doing? Let me say it again. I'm an individual expression of God on earth. I have legal jurisdiction to do what I do. I have legal jurisdiction to represent my Father. I have legal jurisdiction to advocate a doctrine of supreme design mastery. I ain't here to compete with you. I'm here to complete you. Me, you, and everybody else, we're going to all get together, and we're going to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Why? We're going to take our individual purpose. We're going to join with a corporate purpose, and our corporate purpose aligns with the kingdom, and we establish the kingdom of God on earth. That's what I'm building, a kingdom millionaires training center where kingdom-minded people coming together. What is the kingdom-mindedness? Uniqueness or unity of thought that is the same as God, not the little one, the big one. So what does God think? What is God's thoughts? The Bible tells us to think on these things. The Bible tells us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So whatever Christ's mindset is, God, and thankfully he put his mindset in the book. Now, first of all, God has not written his laws on tablets of stone any longer. He's written his laws where? On the hearts and the minds of his people. So do you got a heart and a mind? Well, guess where God is at? He's inside of you. He's operating as you. He's manifesting himself through you. You don't need me. You don't need no reverend. You don't need no doctor. You don't need no freaking curandero. You don't need no damn shaman. All you need is you, yourself, and God. That's it. That three-stranded cord is not easily broken. That allows you to align and to transmute. Now, tomorrow I'm going to lay down the introduction to the next series. Now, this series will probably be about $200. Kingdom Millionaire Training Centers, normally free, but I think I probably charge because this series is not for everybody. This series, I say this all the time, but this time it's for real because there's a lot of people who teach, what do they call it? Tantra? I think they call it sexual tantra, mantra, or something like that. There's a lot of people who teach. I've had clients who practice transmutation. They would get together. Them and their husband would practice. They would engage in a sexual act, and they would hold their orgasms, and they would think about something. I'm not teaching that bullshit. That's not what this is about. This is about something that has not been taught to my understanding on earth. Now it's been taught, but I don't know if it's been taught recently. This goes beyond heteros gamma. This goes beyond holy matrimony. This goes beyond physics. It's the understanding of the law of doubling that is sometimes taught in vortex mathematics, but it's the ability to transmute energy. This is what Brother Roman's gift is. This is what Brother Roman is overstanding. So Brother Roman is overstanding. Somebody sends you hate. What do you do with it? Somebody walk past you, you pick up a vibe. And the dude mean mugs you. He looks you in the eye. Basically, he says, I don't. He may even shoulder bump you. Now, this happens often. So what do you do? Well, most of us, we mean mug him back. Like, if I go to a hood, Negro look at me, I look at him. If he says something to me, I'm going to say something to him. So as long as he don't say nothing to me, I don't say nothing to him. That's the world's way. That's competition. That's what we all been doing. So now we've got to go to the next level because now we're in the kingdom. We're not in the world anymore. You can't build a business or a corporation where people walking down the hall mean mugging each other. You can't take that culture from the world into the kingdom. You can't. Now, Negroes is doing it, but they're just building another. You're not transfiguring. You're not doing what Jesus did. We're not the transfiguration. That is why the word transfiguration means a complete change of form. You know, you can't. It's a complete change of the spiritual state. That's what Jesus did, a complete change. You cannot put old wine in old wineskin. That is why what I talked about yesterday, that's why most people are still in Groundhog's Day. Now, let me close with this. On the Mount of Olives, there's an event that took place in the New Testament when Jesus transfigured and he becomes radiant in the glow ray. In the ray that makes him glow. And he was up on a mount or mountain, which means his crown chakra was activated. Remember, everything in the Bible is metaphysical. Just like the storm that was raising, the disciples' 12 cranial nerves came to the crown chakra and said, hey, what are we going to do? The crown chakra gets its frequency from the Pitar. So the 12 cranial nerves, they activated the 12 numbers on your diakonia report that represents the ray or the glow ray of God. The way that your glow, the way that the ray glows, there is a ray. What is a ray? There is a beam. That beam allows you to bond. The bond allows you to be. You got a BEAM. I gave it to you. It's in your diakonia report. You probably don't know what it is, but that's what it's for. It activates the 12 cranial nerves. So when you understand your design, you say to your brain, peace, be still. And the storm that rages, say, okay, let's calm down. Why? God has spoken. God eternal within the body. Yah-hey, shin-bah-hey. That's what you got. It's called your DNA. God put himself inside the body of a man. That's the true destiny of mankind. You're going to be transfigured into a ray that glows. That's what the Mount of Olives represents. But notice what happened on there. First, Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus. Now, he took three of his disciples with him when he went up on the Mount of Olives. Now, we're going to be breaking all of this down because this is the indication of what you got to do. This is the indication of the transmutation from man to God, the transmutation from understanding the Old Testament to the New Testament, because Jesus did away with the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. Them was the two that appeared with Jesus, and the disciples says, hey, let's build a tabernacle. Let's build a house in this place. In other words, let's create a denomination. Where denominations come from? A move of God that's felt by men that don't want to move forward. Denominations are traditions that men want to hang on to. When the God has moved on, transfiguration, it means moving past, is to transmute, don't transfer. People want to transfer. They don't want to transmute. Transfiguration allows you to become radiant. That's what Jesus did. And so without under, over, and understanding this process of transfiguration, which is transmutation of the energy from the old to the new, out with the old, in with the new. So you got to let go of the old. That's what Jesus did. That's why Jesus said, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. He was saying that they did not allow. What does a thief and a robber do? What is the attributes of a thief? They take. What are the attributes of a robber? Excuse me. They hold you back. That's tradition. not dominion. Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, I teach dominion. How? One, mindset. Two, language. Three, lifestyle. Okay, Brother Will, how does all this start? Those 12 numbers that I gave you inside your Dear Kinnear report establishes your executive summary. That executive summary establishes your dream statement. Every day, used as a statement that you make. You dream about this every day. I dream about being on stage in front of 100,000 people sharing the gospel of the kingdom by establishing Dear Kinnear or destiny or purpose inside of the men so people can stop competing against each other and start completing each other. That's what I see. And then I have a mission statement. My mission statement is to uplift the spirit of humanity. My mission statement is to replace error with truth. My mission statement is to build the body that houses the Shekinah glory of God. Purpose is the deeper expression of the mission. How? Through didactic teaching. My purpose is I am a didactic teacher. That's how I establish my mission, and that is my dream, and that's my executive summary. And then I got a vision statement. So when I close my eyes, I see a vision, and my vision has provisions. And the vision is, not only am I an individual, I'm a part of a corporation that allows me to function in my individuality while maintaining my corporatality. My corporatism is expressed to my individualism. That's the vision. And the goal is to bring about wealth, health, wisdom, and great relationship through my objectives. These are the statements that bring about the transfiguration. So when they came upon the mountain of Olives and they say, Jesus, let's keep Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophet. Jesus said, no, we're not building no temples based upon the past, because then that will control your and make you a part of the masses. Drop the M, you got asses. We're not trying to do that. And so it's the under-open understanding of how you go from glory to glory. Now, Yahushua could have stayed in the past, but the law was good at the time. The prophets was good at their time. But now it's dominion time. It's kingdom time. It's the kingdom mindset that based upon the kingdom language that allows you to live the kingdom lifestyle. My brothers and my sisters, there's no need to compete. You ain't got to compete against no man or woman. No need. Nobody can be you but you. Completion is a state of mind that you see no lack and no thing. Therefore, you don't care. You just love everything because everything's complete. Oh, man, I love Brother Roman. I love everybody on earth. Why? They are complete. I used to care about Brother Roman. I used to worry about Brother Roman. I said, man, I wonder if Brother Roman going to get it right. I don't worry about Brother Roman no more because Brother Roman was never flawed. It was my perception of Brother Roman that was flawed. I was projecting my insecurities onto Brother Roman. So now when I see Brother Roman, I say, hey, God. Because when I see Brother Roman, I see the Father. Because Brother Roman and the Father are one. It's the uniqueness and the sameness. So I can recognize the Father in Brother Roman because I can recognize the Father in me. So I have to do the work on me before I can ever try to do the work on Brother Roman. So create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within inside of me. It's this ability to contemplate the self before you try to help anybody else. Brothers and sisters, don't worry about competing against nobody. You don't have no competition. There's only one you. Nobody can beat you but you. It's important for you to see yourself as complete. That means whole, not lacking anything. Let me see that. Let me say that again. Because what happens when you are whole, what do you think you are drawn? See, you can only bring about what you think about, what you see. With the word complete, comes from the word, the Greek, P P-L-E-I-O. That word means a completed task, filled up, full. That is a very powerful word. It means to fill the populace with people, to fill. When you are complete, that simply means you are full. You are complete. That means you have no lack. When you see yourself that way, you can be that way. You cannot be what you can't see. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. If you don't see yourself as complete, you got to go get complete. You got to go take a class. You got to go somewhere. You got to consult a curandero. You got to call a shaman. You got to go get some, go get your palm read. You stop searching the moment you see yourself as complete. And then you start being. And then once you start being, you start beaming. When you start being, you start bonding with other people that are complete. So you draw completion when you are complete. Nothing changed in my life until I start seeing myself as complete. And then I start drawing people into my life who saw themselves as complete. These are called sons. See, sons, they know they're sons. If you don't know you're a son, you're not complete. The true destiny of mankind is to become a God, a part of the God kind or the son kind. You're a son. You are a son of the Most High. When you see yourself as a son, you are complete. Then and only then are you operating in a true spiritual state. And once you get to that place, you have legal jurisdiction now to realistically represent the Father on earth. And now you can advocate a doctrine of completeness with militant action, which is going to activate the dormant DNA inside of everybody else. And it's going to force people to terminate their contract with competition. Because once they terminate their contract, remember, you have to let go of the old before you can receive the new. Let go of the old. Before, let go of the old. Before, let go of the old. Before, you got to sell the old car before you get the new one. Once you let go, you terminate your contract with the devil. Then that makes you eligible to align your design with God's mind. Brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. Let me rephrase that. God complete you. I don't want to bless nobody. I don't want you to be less. I want you to be complete. I want you to have the uniqueness and the sameness of the Father. Shall we got to change our language? I'm just so used to saying that term. Yeah, I don't care about you no more, bro. I love you. I don't care about you. I don't want to bless you. I want to complete you. How do I complete you? By completing me. When you see me complete, you say, hey, if Brother Will can do it, man, anybody can do it. Because, Brother Will, that fool, man, yeah, he's a couple of sandwiches short of a full deck. So if God can use him, I know God can use me. And trust me, brothers and sisters, if God can use me, he damn sure can use you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one to hit them with this truth. This we've been under rust. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours. still on my gritty. You still live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, Captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice.